happy that Odyssey is your favorite bedtime story.
Can't go to sleep.
Sorry.
Now an exclusive episode from the Odyssey Adventure Club. And now, Adventures in Odyssey.
So, you and Connie have everything prepared, Ricky?
I think so. I've been working on my story for a couple of weeks now. I can't believe how fast it came together.
I know how you feel. In the short time I've been employed here, I've learned to expect the unexpected.
Hi, Renee.
Well, look who's back. How went your trip?
Oh, it's good. The conference was the first week, and I enjoyed it very much. And this past week, I met with 5 new UPF partners and set up 3 more trips. Well, who do we have here?
Mr. Whittaker, I'd like you to meet Ricky Chang. Ricky, this is the owner of the place, Mr. Whittaker.
Pleased to meet you, sir.
Oh, likewise. Are you new to Odyssey, Ricky?
Yes, sir. My family just moved here a few weeks ago.
Ricky's father is a dentist.
Oh, well, welcome to Odyssey and to Wits End.
Thanks. When Connie told me about this place at church, it sounded really cool. When I first came, it was even cooler.
I'm glad you think so.
And when she said she wanted me to be in her new kids' radio program, it was the coolest.
Oh, we have a new kids' radio program?
Aye, it's called Family Tree. And it's a program where kids research their family's history and tell it in story form.
Oh, that sounds like a great idea.
Connie showed me how to do the recording. My family story will be the first episode. I've been working on it all week, so I hope it's good.
Of course it's good. You've practiced it enough. I've been listening to him, Mr. Whittaker. Tis a real corker, tis.
I'm looking forward to hearing it. Oh, well, would you like something to drink before you start? What, fam chocs out, maybe?
I was just going to order one.
Coming right up.
I'm afraid we don't take jewelry, Ricky. Only money.
Huh? Oh, the ring. It's part of my family story. I brought it to remind me.
It's a great part of the story, too. You're going to love it when you hear it, Mr. Whittaker. Trust me, it's so exciting.
May I?
Sure.
Raleigh High School. Oh, it's an old graduation ring.
Raleigh's in North Carolina, isn't it?
Oh, that's what the NC here stands for. Oh, and look at this.
I didn't see that before. Is that a unicorn?
Huh?
Yeah, weird, eh?
The unicorn is Scotland's national animal. I didn't know American schools used it as their mascots.
Ricky, where did you get this?
It's a family heirloom. Well, sort of. I got it from my father, who got it from his father, who got it from his mother. So, my great-grandmother.
Ah, so your great-grandmother went to high school in North Carolina?
No, she got it from a soldier.
That's the exciting part.
Huh?
I don't think it's all that valuable, but we keep it as a reminder of how far our family's come.
And anything that has a unicorn on it has to be good for you, hey?
It's one of the few pieces of jewelry that my great-grandmother was able to smuggle out of Vietnam.
I've been meaning to ask you about that. I thought you were from China. Chang is a Chinese name, isn't it?
My family is Chinese, but they moved to South Vietnam a long time ago, when my great-grandmother was just a little girl. Then they left Vietnam at the end of the war when the communists took over.
They were, boat people?
Yes. My father and most of my aunts and uncles and my grandparents and great-grandmother were. My father was just a baby when they left.
Was your family on the sea sweep?
Yeah. You know about the sea sweep?
A little. Well, it sounds like your story will make a terrific first episode for Family Tree.
Thanks. Well, I should start recording.
I'll bring your soda to you in the studio.
Okay. It was nice to finally meet you, Mr. Whittaker.
Oh, you too. Oh, Ricky.
Yes, sir?
Don't forget your ring.
Ah, right. Thanks.
How'd you know about the sea sweep?
It's just something I read. I'm gonna take a walk.
A walk? But you just got here.
Yes, but it's a glorious day.
Are you all right, Mr. Whittaker?
I'll be in the park.
Oh, aye.
My name is Ricky Chang. My family came to America from South Vietnam in the late 1970s. My great-grandmother, Lee, was a really tough cookie. At least, that's what her son, Tuan, my grandfather, says about her. She owned a big rice farm and processing plant that had 500 employees. My grandfather ran the business. My grandmother, Lynn, took care of their 5 children. They were very wealthy. When the communists in North Vietnam took over South Vietnam in 1975, They treated my family and people like them very badly. Overnight, their farm and business were taken away at gunpoint. My family was evicted from their home. They were forced onto a small farm in the Mekong Delta. They had no electricity and no running water. It was there that my father, Vin, was born, my grandparents' sixth child. And while they were at the farm, they also had twin boys, 8 children total. Things became worse and worse for them until they finally had to make a decision on whether they should stay or leave.
I'm just not sure if we should, Mother.
Why not? You said the government is lifting their travel restrictions.
Temporarily, yes.
All the more reason to go now, before they put them back in place. We may not get another chance.
It's not that simple. Besides, things are getting a little better.
Better?
Yes, we had a good crop this year.
Barely enough for us to eat and very little left to sell. We can't build a business that way.
Maybe next year things will improve.
And maybe next year I'll grow wings and fly to the moon.
Mother.
We will never be able to build a business back to the way it was, Duan.
We have faced bad times and government interference before and we've come out okay. We should stick with it. Things will get better with time.
Things never get better with communists.
Maybe this time will be different.
You are joking, right? My jewelry collection is getting smaller and smaller every day.
Do we have to hear about your precious jewelry again?
Listen, young man. Selling my jewelry has been keeping this little farm going. But the government is clamping down on that too. It's practically worthless in Vietnam. It will be far more valuable in another country.
You don't know that? We have no idea if life will be better in a new place. For all we know, it could be worse. A lot worse.
It cannot get much worse than this miserable existence.
At least I know about this existence. I know what to expect, how to live. And for me, that is better than not knowing.
But what about our children, my husband? Is staying here better for them?
Well, yes, I believe it is.
I disagree. Our children will have no future here.
Lin.
You have been blessed to live in a wealthy family your entire life. You do not know what it is like to grow up in a poor, oppressed country, like I did in China.
But this is not China.
No, but it will be. The communists are already cracking down on the schools. Our children will have limited education. Limited education means limited opportunity.
She is right.
Lin. I know that you had a hard life before we were married, but that does not mean that our children will.
It does, husband, if we stay. I see the signs. I don't want my children ending up herding water buffalo and cleaning toilets. No, I am determined that they will do better, no matter what it takes.
What you want us to do is too dangerous. We could die if we go.
We will die if we stay.
Lin.
Look at your children. Can't you see? They are already so thin. I am having trouble feeding the babies. We are slowly starving here.
Listen to her, Duan. The communists are willing to let us go now. This is our chance to get away and start again.
I beg you, husband. For our children's sake, we must leave while we still can. Please.
All right. This goes against my better judgment, but we will leave Vietnam.
Thank you, husband.
At last, you are showing some sense.
But I had an idea.
Or maybe not.
The most practical thing would be for me to go first.
By yourself?
Yes, I will find a job. And then when I've earned enough money, I'll send for the rest of you to join me.
I don't like this idea at all.
Me either.
I don't want to wait.
It will be less expensive that way.
Less expensive is good, but
if you be making money, then I should also go and make money. Twice the money means we get everyone out twice as fast, right? In fact, we should also take along a couple of the older children to work. 4 times the money means everyone gets out 4 times as fast.
I will go along with that.
I will not.
What? Why?
I have heard stories about people doing this. The families are separated for years, and some are never reunited. The people who go first have died.
Now, Lin, the journey is bound to be very difficult on the younger ones, especially Vin and the twins. They could become a problem. Splitting up is safer for the children. It's really the best solution.
No.
Lynn, be reasonable.
No. Our whole family is going to stay together, and our whole family is going to leave Vietnam. End of discussion.
I'm impressed. I didn't think she had that much spunk.
Once they decided to leave, their next big decision was which way to go, by land or by sea. But when my grandfather looked into the matter, the decision pretty much made itself.
We can't go by land.
Why? Isn't it safer?
And easier?
It may seem that way, especially since none of us has ever been on a boat before.
We've never even seen the ocean before.
But the northern border into China is closed, and the land routes to the west would force us to pass through Cambodia. The government there is killing people by the thousands.
What about Laos?
The routes are covered with minefields, almost as bad.
Oh.
Even if a safe land route could be found, the distance we'd have to travel would be very far. And most of it would have to be done on foot.
Not a pleasant prospect.
No.
Okay, so by sea we go. What's next?
An even bigger challenge. Though the government is willing to let us go, it is only willing to do so for a prize.
I thought communists didn't care about money.
Well, these communists do. So many have fled that the refugee business has become extremely profitable for the government.
Especially a government as corrupt as this one.
How much do they want?
Even to begin the process, there is a registration fee of $2,700.
So much!
Per adult. It's half that much for each child between the ages of 5 and 15. Children under 5 travel free.
What a bargain!
That's only the beginning. The government controls the sale of all boats and gasoline.
Government hawks have figured out a way to take a cut at every step.
Yes, they have.
Oh, my.
There's more. The final requirement is that at the time of departure, all refugees must sign a document turning over all of their property and possessions to the government and waiving any future claim to that property.
We cannot rent out this farm?
No.
But what if something unexpected happens and we must return?
There is no returning. No consideration for second thoughts. When we leave Vietnam, we leave for good. We must leave it all behind.
I thought we would at least be able to keep the farm.
They want to make sure that even if we change our minds, there will be nothing for us to return to.
That's right. Having second thoughts, Mother?
Well, I... No, it's just... I cannot believe we have to give up everything.
Only if we want a better life. We still do, don't we?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Good. Because we'll also need money for bribes.
Bribes?
Everyone has his hand out.
Looks like you'll need to sell the rest of your jewelry after all, if you can.
I'd rather do that than turn it over to the stinking communists. I'll keep a few things, though, just in case. And of course, I'll never give up the ring.
Somehow, my family managed to scrape together all the money they needed. They were ready to go, but the night before they left, my grandmother had a strange dream.
Lynn, Lynn. Sweetheart, wake up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Husband, I didn't mean to wake you.
It's all right. I can't sleep anyway. Too worried about our journey. Sounds like you're worried too.
No. Well, yes, but that's not what I was dreaming about.
The way you were thrashing, it must have been a nightmare.
No, it wasn't a nightmare. Not really. I'm not even sure what it was. I'm not even sure if it was a dream.
Then what was it?
It may have been a message.
Message? Describe it.
I was in the marketplace in Sok Trang. We were all there. You, me, and all the children.
Not my mother?
She may have been. The market was noisy and crowded with people. Not just Chinese and Vietnamese, but people from everywhere, all over the world. even America. There were all ages, from very old to very young. Everyone was talking, haggling, calling to one another across the square. And then, suddenly, everyone fell over.
Fell over? From an earthquake?
I thought so at first, but then I realized, no, not from an earthquake. We were all dead.
Dead?
Yes, everyone. You, the children, even me.
But if you were dead, how could you still know what was going on?
I don't know. Even though my eyes were open, I just knew we were all dead. I wanted to cry for you, for our children, but I couldn't.
It's okay. It was just a bad dream.
There's more. As I tried to cry, I saw at the far corner of the market a solitary standing figure. It was a man dressed in a white robe. He had long brown hair and a beard to match. As I watched, unable to move a muscle, the man began to slowly make his way across the market towards me. From time to time, he would stop and point down at one of the bodies on the ground, and whomever he pointed to, that person, he came back to life and stood up.
What?
Yes, he didn't point at everyone though. And I began to pray fervently that he would point to me too. And when the man finally stood over me, he did. And I rose to my feet. Oh, I was so happy. I wanted to dance. And then I felt so ashamed.
Ashamed why?
I remember that you and the children were still lying dead. And I didn't dare speak to the man. But I began to pray again. This time, that he would extend the same kindness to all of you and bring you back to life too. And he did. He pointed to each of you, and you all rose to your feet until the whole family stood alive and well again. And that is where it ended.
Who do you think the man in the beard was?
I don't know.
Maybe it was the Buddha. He was appearing to you, trying to tell you something.
The Buddha is bald and fat. This man looked nothing like that.
Then maybe it was one of your ancestors trying to communicate with you.
None of my ancestors ever looked like that. Did any of yours?
Actually, no. So, what do you think the dream means?
I'm not sure. It was so different, so vivid, so powerful. It must have a deeper meaning than just a dream. But at the very least, I think it means that our family is going to be all right. That we are doing the right thing.
Good. Good. I am glad you think that. We need all the good thoughts we can get.
Then, I have another one for you, husband.
Huh?
I didn't want to tell you just yet, but the dream has convinced me that you should know.
What is it?
We are going to have another child. I'm pregnant.
The next morning, my family took all of their possessions and made their way to the docks, where they found a horrible surprise waiting for them.
The boat?
Yes, the Hevong. Hop. Appropriate, don't you think?
I just hope it stays afloat. It's so small. And all the people? Is there enough room for all of us?
We'll make do.
Make do? What do you mean? We paid a lot of money for this.
And all the money we paid has bought us passage on the Hevong, along with a lot of other people who pay to be on the Hevong.
How many other people?
290.
290? Impossible! We cannot all fit!
Lynn, are you all right?
I feel sick. Oh, excuse me.
What is the matter with her?
She's pregnant.
Are you insane? The boat is already too crowded as it is.
Mother!
Duan, we cannot do this. We need to wait for another boat.
There is no other boat. We are fortunate to get this one. Besides, it is now June and typhoon season is nearly here. If we wait, we could be in danger from the elements.
We will be packed in there like fish in a net. We cannot...
Yes, yes, we can. Come, come. We must go, now.
After you, Mother.
All right, let us go. This is crazy.
And so 300 people went to sea, crammed together in a boat designed to hold 100. My family did the best they could under the circumstances, but they had only been out for a day when something very bad happened.
Too many people. Too many people.
I don't think Mother likes our little ocean voyage.
Oh, she should have booked first class.
Are you okay?
Oh, let's just say my seasickness is not helping my morning sickness.
Oh, I'm sorry. We should reach Malaysia in another day. Maybe two. Then no more seasickness at least.
I'll be fine.
The children think this is a big adventure.
I suppose it is.
Duan! Duan!
What is it, Mother?
Look! A boat!
What? Oh, no. No!
What? What is it?
Robbers! Thieves! Thailand pirates!
And they are headed right for us!
Mr. Whittaker.
Ah, Renee.
You mind if I join you?
Shouldn't you be minding the counter?
Eugene came in and said he'd cover it for me while I went on my break. May I sit?
Please. How's the recording going?
Fine. Ricky's at a real suspenseful part. Pirates from Thailand just attacked the boat, so he's also taking a break.
And you're using your break to find me.
I hope that's all right.
Oh, it's fine. I'm sorry if I was rude earlier.
Oh, you were nothing of the sort. It was pretty obvious you had something on your mind, though. Also, pretty obvious you still do. Does it have something to do with this lovely monument we're sitting in front of?
Well, this is the war memorial. The town erected and dedicated it many years ago to honor the local folks who sacrificed their lives for their country.
It's wonderful. But if you'll pardon me for saying so, that doesn't answer my question.
No, I guess it doesn't. Yes, the memorial does have something to do with it. And so does Ricky's family story. It's bringing up some old memories and feelings that I thought were long since buried and forgotten.
Memories? How could Ricky's story bring up memories for you? You don't know what the story is, do you?
Actually, I think I do. At least part of it. Look at the name at the bottom of the memorial.
Jerry Whittaker. Someone in your family?
My oldest son.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Whittaker. I didn't know. But I still don't get what that has to do with...
Do you remember the ring Ricky had?
Yes, I do. I also recall you having a bit of a peculiar reaction to it.
Yeah, well, that's because I've seen it before.
Where?
Oh, right here, on my finger. The ring is mine.
How could the ring be Witt's? What connection did Jerry Whittaker have with Ricky's family? What will happen to the Changs and the Thailand pirates? And what was the significance of Lynn's strange dream? Find out when you listen next time. At the beginning of today's adventure, Ricky said that his family kept a ring as a reminder of how far they had come. Ricky also recorded some of his family history so they could always look back and remember. It reminds me of something that the nation of Israel did in the Old Testament. After God parted the waters of the Jordan River so the Israelites could cross, Joshua took 12 stones out of the river and set them up as a memorial. He told the Israelites, "In the future, your children will ask you, 'What do these stones mean?'" Joshua told the people to tell the children about what God had done for them and their families. Maybe you can think of a way to make a reminder for your family of what God has done for you. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. The Boat People, an Odyssey Adventure Club exclusive, was written and directed by Phil Lawler, with sound design by Christopher Deal, and music by John Campbell. Our executive producer was Dave Arnold. Our cast included Andre Stoika, Amy Pemberton, Lance Kroll, April Hong, Elizabeth Sung, and Raymond Ochoa. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.